Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6:36 p.m. and that is London summertime, still summertime. And the reason I'm recording a little bit early is because by the time it gets around to 9 o'clock, I will probably be comatose since I didn't sleep very much on the plane. But this has been a day in markets which were reasonably quiet. But I think Europe is where I think a lot of eyes are focusing, not least because it is the locus for monetary policy accommodation right now, in addition to what's happening, of course, in Japan and in China. But when we look at the Eurostock 600, which includes the UK and Switzerland, Norway and Sweden, then it is coming up towards the upper side of this 17-year range. And I think that's rather important because when we think about commonality and the number of markets that have broken on the upside this year has continued to proliferate. So, for example, the Wall Street continues to hit new highs. Then when we look around Asia, the number of markets breaking out to new highs is certainly increasing. Thailand most recently, the Philippines is just about there. Indonesia has been doing rather well, so has India. And even Japan is coming up to the upper side of its range. And then you look at the commodity markets, where we've seen a substantial number of markets breaking on the upside, at least in nominal terms. But Europe has been a laggard. And what we've seen over the last few months has been a significant uptick in optimism about the state of the economy, and the Purchasing Managers Index is really quite strong. And that is not least in part because we are already well into the recovery, and then you have this massive amount of monetary accommodation that the ECB has ploughed into the market. They've essentially bought the recovery and bought it rather expensively. Now, when we look at the chart of the Eurostock 600, then it is looking increasingly likely that it will be able to break higher. And this is the kind of environment where bad news is good news, that if the PMI index begins to falter, then the more likely scenario is that we are going to see additional upside on stock markets, because investors will conclude that the ECB is that bit further away from quantitative easing. And when we look at that aggregate total of central bank balance sheets, what I notice recently has been that there's an increasing number of these kinds of charts floating around, and some say 20 trillion and some say 15 trillion. So I think it is worth considering that my chart is coming up here towards 20 trillion because it includes the size of the People's Bank of China central bank balance sheet. And that is relevant considering that China is the second biggest economy in the world, and it is throwing its money around with increasing abandon right around the world. So I think the most important thing is that the expansion of central bank balance sheets has at least paused here around this 20 trillion level, excuse me. And what I think we need to see now is whether it's going to persist higher against a background where the Federal Reserve is beginning to reduce the size of its balance sheet, albeit in a pretty mild fashion. But then it is Europe really holds the linchpin, because when we look at the size of the ECB's balance sheet, then it has gone into overdrive over the last couple of years. And what happens next is going to be a rather big question, because if the ECB goes into tightening, well, the tightening could take quite some time. But if they get to a point where they want to start reducing the quantity of money that's being made available to markets, well, then that would have a deleterious effect to economic growth. That's the last thing they want, considering the widening of political and I think almost nationalist divisions that we're seeing within the Eurozone. And gold prices today were a little bit softer and have been recouping some of that. They're mildly positive territory in here today, but certainly nothing in the way of upper dynamics. Now, it is coming back into the region of the trend mean, and it is already below the peaks that we saw back in April and again in June. It is for the bulls to prove in order to confirm that this is still a bull market environment, and that the most likely scenario is that it would be breaking on the upside. But obviously we do need to see the upper dynamics first to confirm that. And while gold is right in the region of its trend mean, silver has pulled back below its trend mean. It's coming back towards this $16.50 level, and because it hasn't found support in the region of the 200-day moving average, then the next potential area of support is around 15. But the most important thing I think to remember is that this is not a particularly consistent pattern, that it's not a just a trough to peak swing in terms of the ranging in, environment, but rather that it's really quite inconsistent, and that it is more likely to overshoot. So then the adage that we developed over a decade ago, which is don't pay up for commodities, that they're best bought following reactions, is equally true today. And when we look at the oil price, well, it got all the way up to $60 on the potential that the Kurds announcing sovereignty would have a deleterious effect on available supply, but that has not in fact happened. And in fact, what we are seeing is US domestic supply beginning to increase. So we've had a bit of a pullback and a consolidation, and that is helping to unwind the short-term overbought condition. But we have seen a bit of a change in the environment, in that oil prices had held a downward bias for most of the year, and that has now been broken. And this is the first consolidation. If it can hold on to the majority of the recent advance from those June lows, then the potential that it could stage a rally back above $60 would be bolstered somewhat. Well, we started off by looking at the Europe stocks. It is, I think, also worth considering the Euro stocks, because while the Europe stocks is at the upper side of its range, the Euro stocks really has some way to go. And I think that is important because it is reflective of specifically the Eurozone, and it's a picture of just how difficult it has been for the stock market to recover when the when back in 2012 through 2014, the ECB was weighing on the market and contributing to a deflationary environment. And when we look at Asia, the Chinese Party Congress is coming up in on the 18th of this month, so it's going to be a very quiet month in terms of the stock market activity. They certainly don't want anything to happen that would jeopardize the reputation for sound stewardship of the economy by the Communist Party. And against that background, the H-share index is beginning to firm, and this has been really quite a consistent advance, and it is continuing to trend higher in a reasonably moderate environment, and a relatively inert environment, particularly considering the kind of volatility that it has been capable of over much of the last decade. And the Indian market has been pausing around this 10,000 level, and it's continuing to do that. And it was well off its low last week, and of course, that was also heavily influenced by what was going on with the rupee. And the rupee had weakened below its trend mean last week, and it is now not following through on that weakness. So that is, I think, at least a vote of confidence that we haven't seen a complete rout, but rather that this has been some consolidation of what have been really very impressive gains for the rupee over the course of the last few months. And if we look at some of the commodity-related markets, then the Brazilian index in nominal terms has been really quite firm and is trading above the 70,000 level, and it is at new all-time highs. Now, that is a obviously in nominal terms. In currency adjusted terms, it isn't quite as impressive on the upside, but the reality is that we're in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and as long as that remains the case, then we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. There are, of course, gathering headwinds, and there is no market that doesn't climb a wall of worry. But until we see some of those headwinds reaching fever pitch, or indeed that they begin to roll over in terms of their predictive capability, then there is no reason to question that this isn't still a bull market environment. I've posted in comment of the day today two charts of particular interest. One is the fact that US unemployment beginning to tick upwards is a very reliable lead indicator for a recession, and the second is the extent to which Chinese property prices have gone up already. Now, the Chinese administration are locked cheek by jowl with the property development sector, so it's difficult for them to reform it. But we also know that prices are at extreme levels, and there is a party atmosphere in places like Guangzhou, which has got a very strong property market, and one has to question whether that is something which is an indication of a bull market, that you get this sort of euphoric attitude. You get a very happy populace when you've got a big bull market because everyone is making money, at least, of course, until prices stop advancing. And the fact that China is beginning to internationalize the currency and trying to get other people to take its debt off its hands, that's also an indication that the administration is getting a little bit antsy about the quantity of money that is outstanding. And then you have the fact that people like Hugh Hendry, who are so vocally bearish of China and have had to close their funds because they got their timing wrong. Usually it's when the last bears throw in the towel that you get the trend starting to turn around. So I do think that we know that there are potential things that could lead to an economic contraction, and none of them are flashing red right now. But the reason that I'm writing about them is so that we're aware of what to keep an eye out for. And as long as we remain vigilant, even though these are still consistent trends, and a consistent trend is a trend in motion, so it should continue to do exactly what it has been doing. But nonetheless, we need to keep a wide perspective. One of the greatest threats, particularly in a bull market that is in a mature phase and has been doing so well for so long, is to be lulled into a sense of myopia and to only look at the things that we're interested in, or to only look at a small number of shares or indices. That, in fact, it is rather the opposite. It is now that we should be looking with the widest possible lens at the global situation, because we don't know what the catalyst will be for the next recession. But we do know that on a structural basis, that some of the things that are generally lead indicators are certainly not flashing red at the moment, but they are at rather extreme levels. And it isn't that they can't get more extreme. That's, I think, one of the most important points, is that extreme conditions beget extreme conditions, and they can get even more extreme. It usually doesn't turn into a problem until those data points start to turn around. That's when things can start getting difficult quickly. So that is why I've been talking recently about being a bit more vigilant. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I'm heading down to Devon tomorrow on a pilgrimage. It's quite a difficult place to get to, but I'm looking forward to seeing David and hearing all his news. And I wish all the best to all of you.